your porch lights off because they're coming home with a trophy.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Sharkcast Radio, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks, brought to you by the legends at Dyson Logistics, LGB Supplements, and coming at you live and loud from the Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking. I am Sharks fanatic Newman, and I'm joined as I am every week down here at the Yacht Club by my fellow Sharks fanatic, Sydney singer-songwriter, and all-round good bloke, Sam Shenazzy. How are you going, mate?
Hey, Newman. Top of the morning, evening to you, my friend. And five in a row, fifth spot. It's all coming up fives, baby. I don't mind it. I don't mind it at all.
And the official records will read that the Sharks rolled a very tenacious Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs 22 points to 16 on a sunny Sunday afternoon in front of an announced, speculated 14,004 rabid Cronulla Sharks supporters, which takes us to fifth place on the NRL ladder. On a rocket ship, we've gone up three positions, jumping the likes of the Roosters and the Storm. So everything's coming up well in Sharkland, Sam. However, another tight victory, another late fade out, and we couldn't put a team away again.
Yeah, all that is true, Newman, but you know what happens when you complete 34 or 40 sets and you only make seven handling errors? You usually are going to be going very close to the win the game. I'm happy
this
with that.
This is true.
You're dead on, spot on right about the scoring situation. We're not scoring enough points in general, but there's just a flip side all over. They keep on winning. They're a tough team. I love how tough they are, man. I'm not talking about the way they play. I'm talking about the attributes. Down on men, down on personnel. I just love it. I love that toughness. That's got to be a Shane Flanagan thing.
100%, and you know, you're going to look back at if we do go deep in the finals, you'll look back at this period and say, you know, we really call on some troops that are a long way down the list to stand up for us, the likes of Jack Williams, the likes of Kurt Dillon, those sorts of guys, which we didn't think might even get a start this year, have been very much doing a job for us, and it's been very tenacious and very good. Now, the game was certainly not a classic. It's not one to be remembered for the ages. But in the thrust and grind of week in, week out, home and away NRL football, they're the games that you need to win, and we're winning, so we can't ask too much more.
Correct, and we move on to the Knights next week, which we'll cover exclusively and largely in our last section of the podcast, but it's another winnable game. I love the fact that we've come out of that tough side of the draw, won some, lost some, the easier side now, and we're winning the games we're supposed to do. It's what you have to do, Newman.
Yeah, well, they say there's no easy games, but we looked at this section of the draw and said there's a lot more quote-unquote winnable games is the way you put it. I think that's the right way to put it. And the fact that we've just tick, 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 and hopefully we can get another tick this weekend is a really good foundation to build your season on. And I know Coach Shane Flanagan is very pleased, and we'll cover this in the news, but it looks like we're going to get the return. We saw the return of Paul Gallen. We saw the return of Jason Bakuya. And we're also going to see the return of Luke Lewis and Wade Graham. So we're almost back to full strength. And it cannot be underestimated the impact that losing players of that caliber has on your overall ability to put together 80 minutes on the field.
But what a positive, as he said in the press conference and throughout the press this week, that he can rely on these younger guys or not so glamorous guys like Captain America or a Capewell, and they do the job for you. And it's a fantastic position to be in. They're going to slip back into the lower grades, you'd think some of them at the very least. But they're there, ready to go, itching for another spot, maybe during origin time, maybe during another injury-ravaged part of the year. It's very 2016, Newman, the way that people can come up and do their job.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, after you know I watch a lot of the Newtown Jets. When I saw our injury toll, I wasn't that public about it, but internally I'm thinking, oh, this could be our season here. You know, there's a lot of reasons to not win. There's a lot of excuses. And we would sit here on the podcast and go, oh, well, you know, we wanted to win that game, but we were down on troops and the boys tried hard, but the other team got the money. And the fact that they haven't banked that as an excuse gets me really excited about the rest of the year. And there's an old saying that the old stages will often... I believe I heard a story about Warren Ryan was coaching the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs in the mid-80s, and Peter Tunks put in a couple of stinkers, a real couple of lazy efforts, And Warren Ryan pulled him in and said, mate, you're a leader. You've got to do better. And he goes, look, don't worry about me. Let the kids get us to the grand final and I'll win the grand final for you.
Wow.
And
interesting.
There's a bit of truth in that. You know, the big game, the big name players win you the big name games.
They do. Having said that, I'm going to the props right now. Andy Fifita, most meters, most runs. Matty Pryor, less glamorous, but got the try. And a really great effort from him in attack and especially defense.
I don't know how he played this week. He like didn't have a major life event. Didn't have to pull himself out of a hospital bed or have the birth of his first child or anything like that. It must have felt a little bit mundane, but great game by Pryor. He's just we've come to take him for granted now.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to give a shout out particularly for his first stint in the first half, Paul Gallen. I love the energy that he had. Lots of short, sharp bursts, sometimes taking two head-ups in a set. But just especially that first stint from not playing for so long, I thought he was pretty good.
He fully can't help himself, though, can he?
It didn't affect the game too much. Like I'm not suggesting he slowed the attack.
Away at the end.
In the end, maybe. But I'm talking about the first half. I thought he was really good. Really good. A lot of energy for the forwards.
That's how he wanted to play. But in the second half, he started to play a lot of first receiver, and he just can't help it. He's just a dominant personality, and you just got to like it or lump it, because that's the way it's going to come while he's on the field.
Yeah, but I think he's going to have to get a bit more flexible. Well,
he's certainly not playing the minutes, though, that he has previously. He
played 53 minutes.
Yeah, that's probably where he needs to be.
Yeah.
But remember when he used to play 80 and then bring him off for 3 minutes at the end and he'd be swearing at people on the sideline?
What do you think of Chad?
Again, look, I love the fact that, and you pulled me up on this in Sharkcast TV, but I'm struggling to remember a time when we put like a really poor, like a kick that goes dead, you know, in a really, you know, let the other team off the hook. He's kicking, he's putting the ball in the right areas. He's getting us repeat sets. If we're not getting a repeat set, then he's not at least like kicking it dead, as I said, or kicking it out on the full. So his kicking game is really good. And just one thing I notice about our game, like Moylan takes the kickoffs, and the kickoffs are nothing spectacular. They always land in the same place. A lot of the midfield kicks are not that spectacular, but they always land in the same place. And that's by design. So they're executing Flano's game plan, and you can argue with Flano about that, not about the guys that are doing it.
I would like to see the ball go slightly deeper, Newman, and whether that's the forwards making more meters or Chad kicking it further. On the weekend against Canterbury, it was dropping around the 35, and I feel like it needs to go a bit deeper.
Now, you're right about that, but one thing worth pointing out is that in the first half, for all the wraps we're putting on our props, we were really struggling to bring the ball out of our own end, and we were kicking from 10 to 15 metres further back than what we would have normally. So the way they're training, they're expecting to kick the ball. Now, they need to adapt. This is true. But I thought in the first half we really lost the yardage battle against the Dogs.
Well, I thought the backs were taking the 1-2-3s more from, not from a long-range kick return, but just from like our own 10.
Yep.
And they weren't making much movement.
No.
And it was noticeable.
And the Dogs had obviously done their video on the way we play the game. You know, Ricky, hit up. Fecky, hit up. Or Edric Lee, hit up. And then we don't hit Fifita / Pryor until the third or fourth tackle. Now, if you were at the ground, you would have noticed that the Dogs were able to compress their defense massively into the middle and present a wall to that middle third where we were hitting the ball up in behind the ruck. And once they plugged that up, it took us a while to realize and start to shift the ball. So there was a ton of sets where we were just like on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, not making that much ground. And then on the back of it was that kick that you talked about. And I was concerned about that. But then Matty Moylan stepped into the game and noticed that there was some space and started to feed our outside backs. And that's when we got on top.
As did Josh Dugan. I was very happy with both of their games. Both had errors in them, but whatever, they're not perfect. Moylan runs the ball so well when he's making those line breaks and the sidestep, it's glorious to watch. I thought Dugan, aside from the high ball, was really safe and secure. He set up the try for Eddie Lee, did he not? Yeah, he set up Eddie Lee.
I was watching him from the commentary position, and He was on the left. He was on the right. He was chasing the ball like a madman, which is something that you don't see Val Holmes do when he's at fullback, but he was chasing the ball like a madman. And I don't know whether it was he was short of the gallop or he wanted to, it was an Origin audition, but he was really keen to get his hands on the ball. And I thought Moylan also was really good. And that try he set up for Val Holmes, what a beautiful piece of work.
Yeah, I loved how Val called for it, and it was a pinpoint perfect kick. I guess they do practice that sort of stuff.
100%.
Yeah. But it was plainly obvious how much room that Val had, and he just put the charges on, and it was an easy 6 points in the end. Edric Lee holding his spot, doing nothing wrong, doing great things, actually.
Yeah, finishing the ball really well, bringing the ball out of the our own end really strong.
I pointed
strong.
Out to you, he can find a penalty too.
Yeah, he does.
Probably attracted three on the weekend.
Yeah.
A lot of wingers in
A lot of people asking the questions about Sione Katoa. You know, he's going to have to now jump Fecky.
Fecky's next, yeah.
And then to get into to first grade. So there's depth in the squad. And you made the comment on Sharkcast TV that, you know, remember we couldn't, you know, the days of John Williams and Colin Best. And
with respect, absolutely.
Those outside backs that were just...
It was a problem.
Journeyman,
man.
You know, and... Edric Lee's a bit of a journeyman, really, but he's doing
he's
a job for
turned
us.
It around, hasn't he? Like, he was, in our eyes and some of the fans' eyes, not even considered for a first grade spot in the offseason, and for some reason, too. But, man, he's turned it around, and good luck to him. Jack Williams only got 8 minutes this week.
Yeah.
But he'll be good for it.
Flano is, he did it the week before with Kurt Dillon, didn't get any minutes. And I think he's just playing because he knows Luke Lewis is going to be back, get some long minutes. He'll get long minutes out of Wade Graham. So he's getting ready for his rotation down the line. And we're really rising the task. And I think in the comp, the cream's starting to rise to the top. And we're, the good thing is we're rising with it. But again, you know, I'm not overly excited about the singular performance, but we're warming into the season.
Definitely improving. The attack is improving slowly. They're bombing tries still, but they are making the line breaks.
Aren't we bombing a try?
Yeah.
Far out. Joey Paulo kicked the ball.
Yeah, what about that? That was almost a spectacular try. Almost a Slater-esque effort. Joey Paulo playing great.
Yeah.
He's got to hold his spot in the 7.
Well, he was out on the edge. So yeah. He's played mostly in the middle, and they pushed him out of the edge, and he's done a job.
He's got to hold that spot. An all-round really solid effort. We wanted more points. I expected more points. I was disappointed we didn't score more points. But 5 in a row, Newman, that's pretty good. That's
and hey, the good. Dogs, the Dogs, they're not tracking that well, but they came to play. They were up for it.
Defensively, they were good. Mm. I have to be honest, I was not at any point 10-all, whatever it was, I was not ever worried about losing the game.
No. Now, let me talk to you about a couple of things.
Please.
Negatives.
Please.
The running out of the line, Jesse Rami and, you know, jumping out of the line. And
Val as well.
Yeah, just getting nowhere. There's problems out there.
Same side, yeah.
Yeah, the attack's going to go that way all the time. And, you know, those guys have got the attack in them to make up for it. But come on, guys, fix it up.
So Rami in 8th game, he will learn from it. Usually a pretty good defender.
Yep. Oh, he's strong once he sticks, but that's bad shape.
It is. He jumped out really bad. Val jumped out for the second one really bad. They'll get hammered by the coach for it. You hope they'll learn from it. But if they're going to be on the same site, then they really need to fix that up.
Let's talk about Jesse Ramian's try.
Yeah.
How good was that?
Beautiful.
That's what... We're going to miss that guy.
Yeah, I know.
We're going to say this every week, aren't we?
Yeah, I hate laboring on it because it's a done deal. You think it's not going to change. I did notice that his daughter was... At the game afterwards, he had it on the field. There's a lot of guys we're going to miss, which we'll get into in the news section.
Yep.
We might have some returning guests as well, of course.
You never know. All right, well, that wraps us up for the first segment. We are going to cut to a break, and when we come back on the other side, we're going to have the news of the day. This is Sharkcast Radio, brought to you by Dyson Logistics, coming at you live and loud from the Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking, and fueled by LGB Supplements. And somehow I've got to get Endeavour Property Services over there. They cut our grass.
Hey, Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container, road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies, and with better service too, because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467-233-153. That's 0467-233-153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference.
The RMYC Port Hacking is a true hidden gem of the Sutherland Shire with million-dollar views for the price of a beer. A world-class venue located on the western side of Port Hacking, it has glorious views over the boat moorings up to Bundina.
Open to members and their guests, you can grab a drink in one of the two bars, sit on the deck or on the lawn with the kids while they run around and watch the boats come and go. Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner and serves fresh, modern Australian dishes, local seafood, steaks, my personal favourite, Newman, burgers that are high on flavour and low on price. There's a full TAB facility on Saturdays, and of course the Mighty Sharky games are on live and loud on all the big screens. Don't forget about Friday fishing, it's a hit with the kids.
And if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free garlic bread. Get down to the RMYC Port Hacking, 228 Woolaware Road, Woolaware, or find them online, rmycph.com.au, or on Facebook as RMYC. The Royal Motor Yacht Club Port Hacking, home of Sharkcast Radio.
So Gallen, oh, scrum base play, Barber. Barber scores. Gallen went to the blind side out of the pack. Picked the ball up, gave it in to Barber.
And now it's coming to the time of the show where we see what news has washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores of the SCGS. The news. Plenty happening this week. Samuel, what's the first cab off the rank?
Well, there's rumours, innuendo and everything in between happening, my friend, and it involves someone that you love desperately.
Dearly.
And I'm a big fan of too. And that is one 2016 Premiership winner, Ben Barber.
Oh, orgasmic.
Now, you've all heard about it. You've read the rumours. You've read the reports. And our coach, Shane Flanagan, discussed it at the media press conference and throughout the week since. Ben Barber could be in the NRL next year. And if he is, there is a strong chance that he'll be a Shark.
That is so good. I loved hearing Shane Flanagan come out of the media and basically send a message to Benny and send a message to Benny's management that, yes, there may have been an issue with the drugs, but they don't care about that. He's Sharks royalty, and they want him back. I loved it. I was so excited. And some further news, which has washed in across the Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores, is that adds weight to the rumour that Benny will be coming back, is that Kevin Nagama has just signed for St. Helens. So that's a strong NRL level outside back. Now, Benny is absolutely carving it up for St. Helens, but that signing adds more fuel to the fire. We don't know if he's coming back or not. You've heard a couple of things from your Fox Sports contacts that have dropped some major hints, but there's nothing confirmed. But welcome back to the Shire, we say, Benny. I can't wait.
You'll be at the airport waiting for him.
That's correct.
Yeah, until we hear it from Ben himself that he's interested, I'm not going to write the welcome home banner just yet, but as we know, in this competition of ours where there is smoke, there's usually a little bit of fire. And we'd love to see it. What it means is a whole other matter aside from winning more games and scoring more points. It means that there might be some more player movement.
Yes, and one of those pieces of that puzzle, well segued, Samuel, as smooth as a gravy sandwich, as they say, is that the Ricky the Tackle Latelli, dreadful news for us here at Sharkcast Radio, we'll be moving on next year at the end of the season for a 3-year deal at the Toronto Wolfpack, the T-O, the T to the O. And that's disappointing because he was one of our favourites, an underrated player. He wasn't on $1 million, and he won us a grand final.
He did. He literally won us a grand final. He's been with us for a while now. I think he's close to 28. His last or second last contract, he is going to make a lot more money over there, so that's why he's doing it, and he's a family man, and you cannot begrudge him that. I'd say he's also doing it for a little bit of life experience as well. Toronto's an awesome town. We're disappointed to see him go. We wish him all the best. He's always welcome back here. It would have been awesome to be a one-club man, which leads me into asking you, Newman, that you heard from some good sources that he didn't want to play against Cronulla.
Yeah, a big factor in his decision, and not the only factor, but obviously a player sits down and says, okay, I've got NRL money being thrown at me, Club XYZ, I've got Super League money, I've got Toronto Wolfpack, and, you know, they have to sit down, and the money isn't the only factor, but a major driving part in Ricky Latelli's decision was that he did not want to play against the Sharks. Now, you know, money talks, and I think that if he was offered $1 million a year, he probably would have swallowed that. But with the contracts on the table, he said, no, I don't want to play against the Sharks. I'm going to take the family over to Toronto and do my best over there. So he should be a club legend, Ricky the Tackle Latelli.
Hell of a human right there.
We love him. He's one of the nicest guys in the squad.
Yeah.
Just a real gentle soul, softly spoken.
Yeah.
Family man. He's been good to us, hasn't he, Samuel?
He has. We've interviewed him a number of times. You know, when we see him down the mall, he's always friendly and saying hello, and we wish him all the best. And that leads us into a third piece of player movement news, which is the least likely at the moment, but that is one Jackson Bird returning to Cronulla.
Yeah, another rumour that won't go away. When it comes to Jack Bird, wow, what do you say? He doesn't look happy at Brisbane. He's got a contract there, but it's a monster of a contract.
It's $1 million for 4 years, I believe.
That's right. So he's on a $4 million contract, $1 million a year.
It's $1 million a year, definitely, and I believe it's four. At the very least, it's three.
Well, I know Flano well enough to know that there's no way he's going to pay that for a player. He likes Jack Bird, and he likes Jack Bird as a player. There's no doubt about it. And if Jack Bird was to come back on money that you would say is appropriate for him, there'd be a conversation open all day long. But the fact he'd want $1 million a year or close to it, and he wants to call the tune in terms of what position he plays, I wouldn't think it was going to happen. But you sit down and you think it's very likely that both, at least one of Luke Lewis and Paul Gallum, maybe even both, will retire by the end of the year. And that leaves a real hole in our squad in terms of premiership winning, representative standard quality players. And I know Flano would think Jack Bird could fill that hole, but would Jack Bird play as an edge back row? I think that's his best position.
When he was carving it up in the under-20s, many times that I saw him play, he was playing on the right edge in more of a back rower role than a center, and he was unbelievable. Now, that's kids level, I understand. I think that he would relish coming back. I think it might influence other players who might want to stick around, given that brotherhood. But he has to get his hands dirty, and he'll probably need to play somewhere in between the role that Gallen and Lewis play. It does mean that there's money there for him if all that goes down.
Well, he's getting carved up by the media. And it's a hard thing for a New South Wales player to do, to go up to the Broncos, and that club's just a law unto themselves. You know, they've got a million supporters and everyone's got an opinion. And, you know, if you live in Brisbane, I've never lived in Brisbane, but an old flatmate of mine used to, and he just used to, when he came back to Sydney, he's like, can't believe how refreshing it is to not get, you know, it's Broncos in the paper. You know, they're telling you what Darren Lockyer had for breakfast every night on the Channel 9 news, and that can be taxing for a New South Wales guy, and they want results. Like, they demand success up there. They expect the competition to be rigged in their favour, and if their top name players aren't delivering, then the pressure comes down. So maybe he does want to come back. Who knows?
He doesn't look fit.
He doesn't look fit.
Which I find hard to believe for a professional athlete, that it's gotten to that stage where the staff have gone, hey buddy, this is what you got to do, and it's not happening.
Yeah, he loves a hamburger, apparently.
I don't want to get into that. That's just being mean. But
well, I love a hamburger.
I really love a hamburger. So that's the least likely at the moment of the scenarios, but it is a distinct possibility.
Well, it's a rumour that won't go away.
Flanagan's a pretty loyal dude.
But I'm telling you right now, of all the games this year, I've never once watched a game and thought, boy, we need Jack Bird back.
That's coming off a pretty quiet 2017. If you slot him into, what was it, 15 and 16, he had pretty good years.
Yeah, he did.
So he's got it in him, that's for sure.
He does.
Now, Newman, there's other stuff happening, and that is lower grades. We had the Wyong Roos defeat the Shark Jets 26-24.
And I was at that game covering it for steelsports.com.au, and a real disappointing result for the Jets. They were on top in that game. They went up 12-0 after like 5 minutes, and you thought, this is going to be 60-0. Wyong are on the bottom. They've got no NRL experience. There was NRL experience coming out the yin-yang for Newtown Jets in the likes of Katoa, Braden Nuelli, Kurt Dillon, and, of course, Flano Jr. had been earmarked for the NRL, and they just blew it. Isaac Lumi-Lumi played and led a bunch of tries in with some really poor defensive reads, and his kick diffusion was disgraceful. And on the other edge, Katoa, though he scored a good try in the middle, made another bunch of defensive misreads and struggled to defuse kicks. What really hurt them was when Wyong lifted and came back into the game, FJ Flano Jr. went off for a HIA, and we were missing our regular starting six, Jack Willie Williams. He was out with injury, and the stand-in 5'8", Samuel, was the regular winger, Matt Evans.
Mm.
So they weren't able to formulate a try without any halves on the field. They will continue to flounder at around that 8th or 9th in the Intra-Super Premiership. And just disappointing, the standout player in that team is Braden Nuelli. He's the best by a mile. He's a really strong front rower, aggressive, that kind of guy who gets angry and then runs the ball really hard. Hits like a freight train. He was really good. And
I'm not sure how they're going to work it out, Newman, but I do want to see him get another shot on the bench for first grade. He's had one shot for about half an hour and did well. He needs more time there. How they're going to do it, I've got no idea. If it happens this year, I'll be pleasantly surprised.
And the other thing that ties into this is they're going to have to work it out, because we've signed an agreement with the Jets to continue that arrangement for another 5 years, 3 years?
Five.
Another 5 years, which we love the Jets and we love the relationship with Newtown, but it's been described as a necessary evil. The best scenario would be if we ran our own New South Wales Cup, but we don't have the money to do that, so this is the next best option. And, man, it's better than joining up with one of those other clubs or Mounties or someone like that. There's a good relationship between Newtown and getting down to Henson Park. Samuel, you know how good it is down there.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Now, we also had a game in Jersey Flegg, Newman. It was a 22-all draw against the Roosters.
Yep, they remain undefeated, Jersey Flegg. It came at an immense cost. They lost some of their best players. One broken leg, some spinal issues, and a bunch of concussions. So how they go ahead with that heavy toll remains to be seen. But undefeated, sitting on top, pretty damn good.
Just for a bit of housekeeping, we are recording this segment of the podcast a little bit later than the other ones you're listening to.
Something happened, didn't it?
No, there's no reason why. We just decided to do it. Later in the episode, you might hear us speculate about who's going to play, who's not going to play. I can tell you, Newman, that I just ran into Bomber Morris, part of the Sharks coaching staff, and I grilled him at Mr. Paisley's.
Mr. Paisley's.
And he was very clear to me, saying that Wado and Lukey Lewis are ready to go, and he even said they were ready to go last week. So take that as you will.
All right, good stuff. Good to hear.
We also have some fun stuff. We'll start with the trucker hats, Newman, and I'll tell you why. So you go with the trucker hats promo.
All right, so trucker hats have finally been received. We had to send them back and get them reprinted. And we finally got them back. So place your orders, sharkcastpod@gmail.com. They're $25 plus shipping. They're a fantastic item, really. They are so cool. They're a special trucker hat. The actual hat was imported from the States, light blue with that old school logo. The players love them.
Yeah, so we've seen the future Valentine Holmes, Joseph Paulo, Ricky Latelli. Seggy was wearing one this week.
That's right.
A few others, as well as the legendary Gavin Miller striding around Cronulla in his hat.
And Doco.
And Doco. I don't want to forget Doco. Did you have an interesting Miller story for me? A new one?
An interesting what?
A Miller story.
Oh, yeah. So I always just bump into Gav Miller, cruising around the Shire. He walks and to keep himself relatively fit. And I was checking the surf at the wall,
And I jumped out of the car to go check the surf, and there's Gav walking past. G'day, Gav, how you going? He's like a man on the man on a mission. So he just turns around and starts walking backwards, and he's like, not much of a game on the weekend, but a win is a win. And he's just like getting further and further away. And he's like 100 meters away. I'm at the wall, and he's in front of Allura Clubhouse going, mate, we'll take any win we can get, but they got to put Newcastle to the sword. I'm like, all right, Gav, keep going.
What a great man. What a great club man. Now, the reason I said trucker hats, Newman, is because you can wear them when we have our next function.
The annual Sharkcast function.
The Warriors away game is what it's become.
That's exactly right. And it's on for the Warriors away game, Friday, 29th of June.
Now, the kickoff of the game is 6 p.m. We'll be hanging around from about 5. We've advertised it for 5:30. Come down whenever you like, but the game is at 6 o'clock. Now, how can people get to the venue?
Now, it's not the easiest place to get to, but if you get yourself to Woolaware Station, they will give us a message or give me a ring. We'll tee it up beforehand. We'll send this courtesy bus down to pick you up.
Okay.
And they'll drop you safely there and also return you safely to the station. Or if you live in the area, they can actually pick you up. But there's also a deal with Uber. And your first trip to the Royal Motor Yacht Club is half price.
And if you choose to drive, which of course we encourage that as well, then there's plenty of parking there
plenty
for you.
Plenty of parking. Plenty of parking.
And we're going to have former players hanging out.
Yeah, no current players, unfortunately, because they'll be in New Zealand. But there'll be some former players. We're going to have some music. There'll be some food getting around. I believe the boys from Shark Island.
Okay.
Our mates from Shark Island Brewing are going to come down and they're going to do something.
I think we can tee up some giveaways as well, I think.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll have a Q&A with a few legends. But the form is get there at about 5:30. We'll have a few beers. We'll watch the game.
Yeah.
And then we'll have a kick on after that.
So every time Val drops the ball, I'll have 80 people poking me in the ribs. Ah, Shanaz, he's not that good.
Watch him score five
he's
tries.
He's not a fullback. He's not a winger. What is he?
Watch him score five
I look
five
forward
tries.
To it, Newman. I can't wait for that. I think that could be all the news. Newman, can you think of anything else?
That's it. Big week.
All right. We'll catch you after the break.
LGB Supplements is the Shire's number one store for supplements and proteins. They have a wide range of supplements, including proteins, pre-workouts, and fat burners, on top of a massive range of exercise accessories, including boxing gear, activewear, gym gear, and water bottles.
Newman, it's free delivery Shire-wide and a price beat guarantee. Best prices anywhere. 10% price beat. The website is www.teamlgb.com.au. Just again, www.teamlgb.com.au. They're at Shop 6, 10 Waratah Road, Engadine. It's 20% off for Sharkcast listeners.
On top of that, they have friendly, accessible boot camps for all levels to shift those extra kilos. They have them in the Engadine area, and there's a boot camp at Woolaware coming soon. LGB, life's getting better.
Hey, Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavour Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specialises in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424 294 321. That's 0424 294 321 or endeavourpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Sharkcast, you get a 10% discount. Endeavour Property Services.
This stage, that's the second time they've had the football, Brisbane. Their second mistake. I'm just handing over possession to Cronulla in good field position now, right on the halfway line.
Eddinghausen and Green laying it on. Peachy's into the space. They're not going to get him. The young fullback scores for the Sharks.
Well, I'll tell you, it is one of the best bum moves you've ever seen.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I got to spare. Got to get back.
And now it's come to the front of the show where we go out in front of Sharkcast Pod headquarters at 1 Eddinghausen Way, Woolaware, and see what the little sharky who rips around the neighbourhood on a high-vis motorbike has jabbed into the slot. The letters, you can get us at sharkcastpod@gmail.com or Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram @sharkcastpod. Keep the letters coming.
Now, Samuel, you are holding a shark tooth-shaped letter opener. What is the first cab we have off the rank this week?
James Payton has tweeted us. He says, in round 13, who plays number one, i.e. fullback, if Valentine Holmes and Dugan are both picked for Origin? If it's Moylan, who plays six?
FJ Flanner Jr.
Now, I'm here to tell you Dugan will not be named. I was speaking to a selector today from the New South Wales Blues. Dugs is no chance. At least for game one. Yeah, game one.
Sharkcast Radio getting the inside scoop on the Origin theme. Who were you talking to?
A former Penrith great who is part of very much on the coaching side of things in the Blues for the first time ever.
Who is a commentator on Fox Network.
He put it all together.
And whose nickname is a type of alcoholic beverage.
Great fellow, actually. So you think Flanagan will come in? He's next half anyway.
Yep.
Thank you very much, James, for that. Now, we have a letter from Paul, and it's a beauty. He says, first time writing in this year. Happy with the 5 wins. Sharks on the march. I want to focus on Valentine Holmes for a bit, and no, Shanaz did not write this. After a slow start, he's now got 7 tries in 7 games. Defense is where he continues to frustrate. The failure to cover a kick late against Parra was poor, etc., etc. But he's only 22 years old, far from the finished article. There's still so much improvement there, it should excite us as much as it annoys us. Now, I've got another second point, but what do you think about that?
Well, it's a fair point. We still forget that he is only very young, and he's achieved a lot in his...
Achieved everything.
Yeah, in his short career. So I want him to sign on long term and become like a great of the club.
Agreed. Now, he says, second point, the margins are so delicate in terms of letting the ball run dead at fullback.
Mm-hmm.
The 7-tackle set rule heavily decides whether a fullback is going to lean towards shielding out rather than playing it safe. Occasionally they get one wrong and they'll look daft in the process. Yeah, so you're sticking up a Val, basically.
Fair enough.
Thank you very much, Paul. What a legendary legend you are. What else you got, Nims?
All right, now I've got trucker hat orders. Okay.
Right. You're not going to go through all of them, mate.
No, Andre, Lance, Adam, Simon, David. There's a secret one, Greg, and all. There's, I can't say who it is. She knows who she is.
Okay.
She's buying it as a surprise.
Okay.
And I will ship those tomorrow at the latest Friday. So look out for them next week, guys.
The great Michael Langridge from Canberra. He's praising Pryor and Fifita again, especially in the Dogs game. He said, Matt Moylan had a cool moment, great kick and vision for Val, and a second cool moment where he set up Paulo, who didn't do the Billy Slater kick. He's still a little weird guy. I think he's referring to Moylan.
He called him the weird guy.
What else have we got here? He said, sick Eddie is looking good. To think he's overtaken a premiership player in this team is just plain weird. And he's also talking about, should Gal and Lewis leave, who would we like to see? His choice is Marty Kapow, as he calls him.
Well, I mean, I don't even want to think about it.
Well, we have to at some point.
I know, but it's so sad. I want them to play again next year. As much as I
see. You going on record with that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm hesitant to say that.
I know you are. I know, but they're a long time retired.
Given the injuries.
They're a long time
retired. You know
what
would be fantastic is you win the comp and the decision's made for
you. Oh, you do the Ray Price, Michael Crane and walk around.
The decision is made for them, my friend.
All right. We got any other tweets there, Sam?
Have you one from Luke Cavell?
Yes, we have a tweet from Leapin' Luke Cavell, the mayor of Benora Point, and he says, boys, I have a tip for you. Don't eat yellow snow.
Now, without showing off too much, I was also talking to another Fox Sports on-air talent who happened to win the comp in 2016 for the Sharks.
Can I just pick up that name you just dropped there?
Yeah.
Does his name rhyme with Schmeichel Schmenis?
It does. That's what we call him around the office, actually. I actually had the very sincere pleasure of working with him on an interview he's doing with Wayne Bennett, which is very topical this week.
Well, when are you going to get him to come on the show?
He did tell me this. He said he believes the Sharks can win the comp.
I know. He backed us on publicly.
Well,
I'm glad
he said
to hear
that privately to
now,
me.
Now, did you say to him, Mick, we're going to get you on a Sharkcast Radio?
He wants to do a one-on-one.
What, with you?
Yeah.
Well, do it.
I'm not leaving you alone, buddy. I'm just stirring the pot. He didn't say that.
Did you? But you didn't say it, did you?
Yeah. He's very open to coming back on the show. He's a very busy man.
Oh, we're all busy.
I might have to grab him over lunch and just hit record on the phone.
We're all busy, you know. We're all busy.
I'm not
we're
busy.
All trying to run, you know. What does he do? He goes to work a couple of days a week. You and me, you're running a music business. Yeah. I'm running a public speaking business.
Yeah. While we're plugging things, I can just hear people writing to us now. Stick to the Sharks. I'm playing a gig on May 31. It's a Thursday at the Gasoline Pony. Come on down. It's going to be good fun. What are you laughing at?
Well, people call the sellouts, and we're like, we don't care. We'll promote anything.
May 31.
Yeah.
Thursday. It's next Thursday week at the Gasoline Pony in Marrickville. Now, don't come along that night and call me a sellout, but come along to our party, the Warriors game.
Call
us. And I'll happily discuss anything you want about the podcast, Sharks, whatever, and we'll lay it down for you about what we do, why we do it, what we're doing. Whatever you want to know, we will tell you to your face. But we'll talk to you genuinely because we love you guys.
And in terms of the sponsorship, I mean, all of these people are our friends, and they put their hand in their pocket so that we can buy all the equipment and the bandwidth that puts the podcast out. So, I have no hesitation in promoting those businesses as much as I can. And so remember, our sponsors are Endeavour Property Services, LGB Supplements, the Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking, and the legends at Dyson Logistics.
Now don't switch off. We've got a preview. Don't switch off. The preview. We're playing the Knights. We're playing the Knights this Sunday afternoon up in the Hunter, 2 o'clock. Now, Newman, you talk for a tiny bit, and I'm going to get the team ready for you.
All right, so it's a 2 o'clock kickoff. The game will be on at all the pubs and clubs around. Don't forget you can watch it at the Locker Room Sharks Leagues. Or, of course, Sunday afternoon, the Royal Motor Yacht Club. They have such a good afternoon there when the view's out over the bay and you can watch the game there. The commentary will be on. Unfortunately, the CSSC aren't running a bus, which is disappointing because you would have thought that the CSSC have... traditionally run buses to those events and been an away game type setup.
But I'm sure they have their reasons.
Of course, well, it's probably a numbers thing. Maybe all driving. I don't know. But hopefully there's a good representation.
Yeah, there usually is.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a team for you, Newman. You want to hear it?
Go ahead, Samuel.
Number one, a Joshua Dugan. 2, Eddie Lee. 3, Jesse Ramian. 4, Ricky That Tackle Latelli. 5, Valentine Holmes, the future. Matty Mullen, Chad Townsend, the halves. The front row is the exceptional Andrew Fafita, Jaden Brayley, and Matty Pryor. Back row named, and I have every belief they're going to start, particularly Luke Lewis in 11. Wado should be fit in 12, and Paul Gallen in 13. Now, the immediate bench is Captain America Joseph Paulo, James Seguiaro, Big Arbor, and my man Bakuya. Extended bench. Capewell, Jack Williams, Fecky, and Ueli. That's a strong lineup.
That's our best team, probably. And our mate Kurt Capewell misses out 18th man.
He's been solid.
Assuming that Louis and Wado do indeed play, but that is our strongest team. And you would think that they'd be very confident that they're going to be able to roll the Newcastle Knights, who missing Mitchell Pearce. It's going to be very hard for them to win.
Now, we've won the last 6 against them, Newman, and the last 3 up there. Overall, they've got the woodenness. They've won 27, we've won 22 with one draw.
But they're not as bad as they have been for the last couple of years.
No
and
way.
Of course, they've picked up Caelan Ponga, who's just a freak.
Oh.
So, you know, they have to do everything they can to shut him down. If we play our power game, where those outside backs run up the middle and get them moving backwards and we're able to shift the ball with the likes of Moylan, Dugan and Holmes, we should score plenty of points. I don't think it'll be 62-0 like it was a couple of years ago in 2016, I think we should be looking to win and win comfortably. Are we concerned, Sam, that Graham and Lewis are back, have been rushed back? Because we've done twice they've come back now, both of them, and only lasted a matter of minutes.
I'm hugely concerned, more so with Lewis because he's got age on his side, not on his side. But with both of them, I have to have faith that the staff, medical and coaching, believe they're ready to go, particularly after 5 wins, playing a winnable game. They're not going to rush them back for that, so I have to believe they're ready.
That's right, and on the Knights, they're a lot more improved than they were last year, and they are capable of a really brave performance.
Oh, yeah.
And with the likes of Ponga in the team, we don't want to do what we did last year where we only just shaded them by like a couple of points.
Well, they've been scoring in the 20s and losing, whereas we're sometimes not scoring in the 20s. We are winning. Kick away from Ponga. Make him chase. Don't give it to him on the full. Have your line set. It's the only way to beat them in that regard of the game. Our forwards should be too strong. Our halves are better. And our backs, I would take our backs over there as they have some okay guys. But Ponga is, I don't like just saying it's one guy, but he could definitely win the game for them.
100%. So I keep telling myself I'm going to stop saying 100% so much because I'm listening back to the podcast and I'm like, I say that a lot.
It's all right, don't worry.
So what are we predicting is going to happen, Samuel?
I think that we will win. We're on a roll. We're too good a team from 1 through to 17. And I think that Flanagan will have them up for it. He'll have them believing that it's not going to be that easy. Score line, I think we'll have to score 22-24 to win. And I hope we can keep them to 12-14, maybe 16.
Now, I don't think that team that was announced will run out.
Right.
I think one of those, Wade or Louis, most likely Louis will miss out, which will bring Kafel in, which, you know, he's been serviceable for us. And my prediction is the Sharks will win, but it will be a high-scoring game. So get your money on over 40 points scored.
Now, for all of you music fans, I'll give you a little tip. A band called Purplene are playing this Friday night at the factory floor, the small room. They're a great indie rock band from Newcastle.
Are they?
They haven't played for about 10 years. Angular kind of post-rock, but upbeat. I'm telling you, one of my favorite Australian bands of all time.
My favorite Australian band of all time are playing the following Friday, Samuel. The Mighty Hard-Ons. At the Chippo Hotel, and I'll be down there.
The following
Friday. All
set
to go. That's right.
That's a song reference for those of you guys who don't know.
The most beautiful thing in the whole wide world is a naked girl all set to go.
It is. Why am I saying that? I mean, it is, but why am I saying that? Hey, of course it is, mate. Mate.
That's a song lyric, by the way, by the Mighty Hard-Ons.
Stop talking about music. Let's talk about...
99% Sharks, 1% rock and roll, Samuel.
No. 98% Sharks. 1% rock and roll, 1% TV. Sensei.
I haven't watched it yet.
Sensei. Cobra Kai.
Oh,
if you're not watching this show, I don't know what the hell you're doing with your life. It is unbelievable.
I've got it. It's only on YouTube, though, isn't it?
It's the first two episodes you can watch free on YouTube. Then you sign up. They don't bill you for a month. You can get out of it. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, in the mid-80s, there was a movie called The Karate Kid.
Wasn't it?
There was two and three and probably more of them. There were remakes. But the number one Karate Kid is an amazing film. You don't like the word amazing, but I'm sorry. They've made a TV show, and it's 30 years later with the same characters and Newman, the same actors.
As great as that is, I'm predicting the Sharks are going to win by 28 points.
Yes, Sensei.
And as we say every week...
Strike first, no mercy.
Cobra Kai. I was so scared of that blonde head, the sensei, when I was a kid. The first time I watched Karate Kid and the sensei was on, I'm like, this guy is scary. You know, he's shouting at them, they had those black uniforms.
Sweep the leg.
That was so badass.
Go, you Sharkies. Thanks for putting up with our rubbish. We love you guys.